Our gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to John in the 20th chapter as we hear of the resurrection of Jesus. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lined with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." But when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you have come today to hear me preach about the proof of the resurrection, I'm probably going to disappoint you. You see, our society likes proof. In fact, usually demands proof. Insists on proof as a solution to the things that we have difficulty understanding. And while I can't offer you proof this morning of the resurrection, I do think the empty tomb is good evidence. It's evidence that death doesn't have the last word, that Jesus keeps his promises, and that God's power is stronger and greater than the power of any empire. You see, I'm just not convinced that God needs to prove anything about the resurrection, because after all, we are talking about God. Proof is easy to dismiss if you're convinced otherwise. So I think instead of exploring proof of the resurrection today, we should talk about a different word that starts with a P, perspective. I think that will be more helpful for us. In today's reading from John, we hear Mary's perspective. Mary enters a garden, for that's where the tomb of Jesus was. And she walks toward the place where she expects there to be a great stone sealing the entrance. But she notices that the stone has been rolled away. It's been moved. So she makes an inaccurate assumption that the body of Jesus has been stolen. And she races off. to tell the disciples the news about the missing body of their teacher. What Mary sees and what Mary doesn't see, however, is only part of the story. Upon hearing the news, two of the disciples, Peter and the beloved disciple, run to the tomb to check it out for themselves. And upon arriving, they enter the tomb and see the grave close and an empty tomb. And we're told they believe, but they don't understand. So they walk away quietly. They go home. One of the striking things about the resurrection is we hear this tomb has a large stone that was covering it, and it's rolled away, and the tomb is empty when Mary arrives. That Jesus was not there, that he had been raised just as he said. The resurrection happened and the stone was rolled away. And it's in that order. The resurrection happened and the stone was rolled away. For you see, it wasn't that the stone had to be moved to let Jesus out, but to let the witnesses in so they could see an empty tomb. Peter and the beloved disciple are the first to go in and see. But Mary returns to the tomb, crying and upset. And it's at that time that then she peers inside. Except this time the tomb is not quite empty. It has two angels inside. And they ask her why she is weeping. Why are you crying? And she tells them and then turns to leave and sees that it's a busy morning in the garden because there's another person there. This time she makes another assumption inaccurately, assuming that this will be the gardener, someone who can help her, who knows what has happened that morning. And she's not entirely wrong. But she's coming at it from a different place. And so she turns to this man and he asks her why she's crying and whom she's looking for. And she tells him. And his response is to call her by name, Mary. And it's in that moment that she recognizes to whom she is speaking. And calls him Rabboni, which our scripture tells us is teacher, and that's correct, but it's deeper than that. In the Hebrew, it's beloved teacher. She's identifying herself as Jesus' disciple. And in identifying herself as Jesus' disciple, Mary has changed her perspective on what's happening here. And she's even changed her identity. Now, the same is true for us. When we decide to start identifying ourselves as a Jesus follower, as a disciple, it alters our perspective and our identity. It changes the way that we think about who God wants us to be in the world and what God is calling us to do. You see, when you begin to have that perspective change, when you take on that new identity, you start to believe and trust that you are who God has said you were all along, beloved child. And you also start to believe that God might have something in mind for you, and it might be different than what you had initially assumed for yourself. Mary certainly had her perspective changed in the garden that morning. Mary encounters Jesus on Easter morning, thinking of him to be the caretaker of the garden, the gardener. You see, the tomb was located in a garden, and that That should help us recall a different garden, a first garden that we hear of in Scripture. It's the garden that we hear about in the creation story, where God has set Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And then Adam and Eve disobey, and they are driven out of this garden. But the arrest and crucifixion and burial and resurrection of Jesus, according to John, also happen in a garden. It's a new garden, this garden. Jesus is raised from the dead and the firstborn of a new creation in this new garden. And yes, there is someone who is sent out of this garden. It's Mary. Mary is sent out of the garden, but she's not driven out because she has sinned. She races out with rejoicing to share the good news with the disciples. You see, Mary has seen her beloved teacher and her Savior, and now she can say with confidence, "I have seen the Lord." Her message is one that declares a new beginning that God has prepared for all of us. Jesus is risen from the dead, happens to be a central tenet to our faith. And it's at the core of Mary's new perspective as she announces to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Now, these disciples, two of them were the ones who had already come to the tomb and gone back home with a less exciting story to tell than Mary. And it's these disciples who Mary tells that had been the ones who were gathered with Jesus earlier in the week, the ones who denied him, who betrayed him, who deserted him when he stood trial and died on the cross. And yet it's these disciples and Mary who Jesus chooses, flaws and all, to be the bearers of good news to the world, to be his representatives. And so it is with us. We, like Mary, like the disciples, are flawed people. We fall short. We fail the Lord as individuals and as a church. Yet Jesus continues to call us to follow him and to represent him in the world. When I think of the promise of Easter and the call we have to discipleship day after day, in good times and when we have failed, I'm reminded of the funeral service of Winston Churchill. Churchill had planned the funeral service himself, and he'd chosen a very particular way to end his own funeral. The funeral took place at St. Paul's Abbey, and at the close of the service, a single trumpeter was to stand in the west end of the abbey and was instructed to play taps, a song that signals the end of the day, the close. However, in the stillness after the last note was played, there was a single trumpeter in the east end of the abbey that had a different instruction, an instruction to play reveille, a song that begins a new day. Churchill understood that Christ's resurrection signals above all else that God is the giver of new life, of new days. So we can choose that new life in Jesus when we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, the one who died and was raised in order that we might be restored to God. Our perspective on life and death and life eternal is changed because of Jesus. Mary's perspective of the resurrection begins and ends in the same place, though she goes on quite the journey. You see, it was out of devotion that Mary came to the tomb that day. She came to pray, probably to pray for Jesus and to pray for those who were his followers, those who were mourning his death and his loss. But it's also Mary's devotion that leads her away from the tomb. This time with new zeal, new identity, new perspective, and new belief. For Mary, to believe in Jesus meant to provide a witness to the encounter that she had had with the risen Lord. So she goes and announces to the disciples, speaking of her experience in the garden. And what she offers is not a third person, impersonal, doctrinal statement, but rather a first person claim and a testimony of her experience. Mary claims that Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead, as she says, "I have seen the Lord." It's a claim about her experience, but also about her future. It's a statement that she has a future with God. Mary's message declares that there is a new beginning that has been prepared for all of us. May the resurrection give us a new perspective, and may it deepen our devotion to the Lord who invites us to spend life forever with God. Amen. We have the opportunity to gather together our statements of faith, as Mary made a statement of faith. I have seen the Lord. We are too invited this morning to make a statement of faith. And we'll do that using the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in the back of your hymnals on 881. We will use this historic creed of the church that captures what it is that is the substance of our faith. So if you will stand as you are able, we will together proclaim what it is that we believe.